So let's review. Ubeprakim shoyl nehakovet umeshiv. In the Mishnah, we were introduced to a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda regarding when may a person interrupt saying kriyat shma to greet someone. Reb Meir holds ben aprakim, if he's holding between chapters, shoyl nehakovet, he may greet someone out of respect, umeshiv, and they may return the greeting. However, beemtza aperek, if he is holding in the middle of a chapter, then shoyl nehayira, he may greet only someone whom he fears, umeshiv, and they may return a greeting. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, holds that Bein HaProkim, between the chapters, Sheol Bnei HaKavod, he may greet someone out of respect, Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam, and return a greeting to anyone. And Be'emtza HaPerek, in the middle of a chapter, Sheol Bnei HaYira, he may greet only someone whom he fears, Umeshiv Bnei HaKavod, and he may return a greeting to someone out of respect. While it is clear from the words of the Mishnah what Rabbi Huda holds, however, the Gemara is not so sure what Rabbi Meir means when he says Umeshiv, and he may return a greeting. Does he accept Rabbi Huda's premise that returning a greeting is inherently easier or more lenient, or does he not? The Gemara goes on to prove that Reb Meir does not accept Rabbi Huda's premise and holds that there is no difference at all between shoyl greeting and meshiv returning a greeting. Lahalocha, we follow Rabbi Huda. Boimene achay tonad b'Reb Chiya m'Reb Chiya. Achay, a student in Reb Chiya's yeshiva, asked him, b'hal u'megillah ma'o sheyafsik, whether one can also be mafsik while reading the Megillah or Hal, as one can be mafsik by Kriyishma, or is Megillah and Hal more stringent? Because of Persumi Nisa, they are read in order to publicize miracles. Reb Chiya answered him, Paisik v'im b'kach klum. He may interrupt, as with Kriyishma, and there is nothing wrong with it. Rabba added that when the full Hal is said, he may be Paisik only b'in aprakim. However, when only half Hal is said, such as Amrish Chodesh, then you may interrupt even in the middle of a paragraph. The above question about Hal was posed to Reb Chiya by a Tan in his yeshiva. The Gemara now quotes a question posed to Reb Ami by a Tan in his yeshiva. Boimene Ashiyan tonad b'Reb Ami m'Reb Ami. Ashiyan, a Talmud in Reb Ami's yeshiva, asked him whether someone who was preparing food on a fast day was permitted to taste it, assuming that he wasn't going to swallow it. Reb Ami answered him, Toyim v'imakach klum, he may taste and there's nothing wrong with it. The Gemara then moves on and begins discussing activities that are forbidden before davening in the morning. Amar Rav, kol anoisin sholom l'chaveri koidim sheispal, Kilo asay bama. Rav teaches that you're not allowed to give shalom to someone before davening shacharis, meaning before saying Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara challenges this from our mission, which clearly allows giving shalom even during Kriyishma. Tigma Rebaba b'mashkim lepischei. Rebaba explained that Rav meant that giving shalom before davening is forbidden only if you go out of your way to his doorstep, so to speak, to greet him. While our mission is talking about a case where you just happen to meet, only then are you allowed to greet him shalom. We also learned that asiyas tzrachim, doing errands or one's personal business, is usher before davening shachris. The Gemara then moves on. It says in Mishlei, V'saveya yolin bal yipokid ra. Amr Reb Zera. From this pasuk, Reb Zera learns out that kalalon shivas yam baloi chaloim nikra. If someone goes 7 days without any dreams, he's called ra, wicked, because it shows that in heaven they're not interested in communicating with him. Reb Zera bases this on the pasuk, V'saveya yolin bal yipokid ra, which he reads as, V'sheva yolin bal yifkad. If he sleeps 7 days without being visited with a dream, ra. It's not a good sign for him. Rabbi Yechanan had a different drash on this pasuk and says, Kol ha-mazbiya atzmei medibrei Torah. If a person goes to sleep satiated with the words of Torah, then bal yipokid ra, he will not be visited with bad dreams. The Gemara then returns to discuss the next part of our Mishnah. Eilu hein bein aprakim. We learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda said that one shouldn't interrupt between the words Hashem alekechem, which are the last words of Kriyishma, and the word emes, the first word of the next piece, either Emes V'Yatzah from Shachris or Emes V'Munah from Ma'ariv, because together they form the thought that Hashem Elikechem Emes, that Hashem is truth, which is based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, V'Hashem Elikim Emes. Since Emes serves a double duty as part of the phrase Hashem Elikechem Emes, and also as the beginning of the bracha of Emes V'Yatzah, there is a machloikis of the word Emes should be said twice. The halacha is that you don't say it twice. The Gemara then went on to discuss the last parasha in Kriyishma, the parasha of Tzitzis. The parasha of Tzitzis ends by saying that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and therefore was added to the parashas of Shema so that we would mention Yitzis Mitzrayim in our Tfilas morning and evening. During the evening Ma'ariv Tfilah, the meaning in Eretz Yisrael was to skip the whole middle section which deals with the mitzvah of Tzitzis since it does not apply in the evening. They would say the parasha of Tzitzis only until Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Aleihem and then to skip to the end and say Ani Hashem L'keichem Emes, and then V'emunah Kol Zayis, and so on. The Gemara then quotes Abayi, who says that our custom is not to leave out the middle psukim, but to say the whole parasha, as Rav said, that since included in the beginning of the parasha are the words It is no longer considered just the beginning, and therefore we shouldn't skip, but rather finish saying the whole parasha. The Gemara then moves on and quotes from the next part of our Mishnah, which discussed the order of the parashas of Kriyishma. Amir B'shua ben Karcha, Loma Kadma Parasha Shema L'vahoy Mishamoya. B'shua ben Karcha explained the reasons and hashkafa behind the order of Kriyishma. We begin by saying Shema, because first we need to take upon ourselves the Ol Malch Shemaim, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. After that comes V'hai Mishamaya, where we accept upon ourselves the Ol Mitzvahs, the yoke of doing all the mitzvahs, which apply day and night. And then comes Parashat Tzitzis, since it talks about only the one single mitzvah of Tzitzis, which applies only by day. Reb Shimon ben Yochai in the Gemara added an additional reason. Shema said first because it talks about the three concepts of Lomoid, V'lamid, V'lasis, learning and teaching Torah and doing mitzvahs. After that comes V'hai Mishamaya, which talks only about teaching Torah and doing mitzvahs. And the last parashah of Tzitzis talks only about doing the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Towards the end of our Amud, the Gemara tells us how Rav seemed to have the custom of saying Kriyishma before putting on tefillin, which would put him at odds with the generally accepted practice of putting on tefillin before saying Shema. The Gemara attempts to explain Rav's actions by saying that he holds like Rabbi Shuban Karach of our Mishnah, who explained that Shema comes first, before mitzvahs, because it talks about Ol Malchus Shemayim. The Gemara rejects this explanation and says that Rabbi Shuban Karach was only referring to our case of saying the Shema, where the choice is between saying one tefillah before another tefillah, but not when the choice is between doing a mitzvah and saying it. The final statement in our Gemara emphasizes this idea. Amar Ula, kol hakor kriyishma b'lo tefillin, ki'ilu meid eidu sheker ba'atzmai. Ula says that saying kriyishma without tefillin is like bearing false witness on oneself, since the kriyishma itself commands us to wear tefillin. Therefore, we must first put on tefillin and then say the kriyishma. And therefore, the Gemara says that when Rav said kriyishma before putting on tefillin, it was only because it was time to say kriyishma and Rav's servant was late in bringing him his tefillin.